Bengals Giants. Daniel Jones is owed $30 million. Would you keep him around for that price in 2025?
Before I answer that question, I'm not going to shout out this company because I don't want to give people free pops on this podcast, Pat. But I'm drinking a raspberry iced tea vodka right now. Honestly one of the best canned drinks I've ever had in my entire life. Really? These are dangerous. Yes. Okay. I'm only having one. But in a previous life, I could see myself drinking about 15 of these. So I don't know why, but I just had a sip and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. All right. So this is going to blow your mind, I think. So my mom is a diehard Giants fan. She lives back in New York. She lives and dies with their games. When they win, it makes her day. When they lose, it breaks her heart. Even though I think a lot of Giants fans are rooting for them to lose because they want to be able to draft a quarterback in next year's draft. Like, being mediocre, just, I don't think most Giants fans feel like that's not a winning proposition long term.
Right.
But $30 million, we had Spencer go through it on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, a few episodes ago. We rattled off like 15 dudes that are making way more money than that. Mm-hmm. So when you look at $30 million, I would just boil the question down to this. Is Daniel Jones an average quarterback in the NFL? Because that's what $30 million gets you these days. And my answer right now is yes. Yes, like, obviously, with Jones, he can't be Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, etc. He can't carry your team. But no. Pat, they're not paying him to do that.
Exactly.
When you've got quarterbacks making $25 million more than that, or $20 million, or 10 or 15 even, like, all of a sudden that deal does not look like the kind of albatross that weighs the team down. With the salary cap going way up, you can build around an average quarterback making that kind of money. Right. So my answer is actually yes. He's played really good the last three games. If this is more of an indication of who Daniel Jones is going to be for this year, the only reason why the Giants won't bring him back is because they've already made up their minds on him. But this Daniel Jones right now deserves to make that kind of money. Sorry, I know Giants fans might want to hear that, but I honestly think he does.
Yeah, I agree with you. I believe he's one of those quarterbacks that's not great, but he's not a bad quarterback. So he's like right there in the cuffs. In between those two tiers, for the most part, like you said, the salary cap is going up next year. You have an opportunity to build around him, give him some weapons on the offensive side of the ball, like get him a receiver or two. You have opportunity to go out there and get you a solid running back in the free agent market, beef up your offensive line give him an opportunity to stand in the pocket and stand clean, because he have the mannerism. He has a very strong arm. He just needs the time to deliver the ball to some top quality receivers. And now I know they have
neighbors
from LSU, but now, you know, get you a tight end in there that's able to open up the middle of the field.
Well, they had one, but then he had an ugly separation from a women's basketball player and started writing songs about it, which was very bizarre. Pat, I want to know from an NFL player's perspective, if we went around and asked NFL players, if you are hungry for a Super Bowl, what team gives you the best chance to win? A team that has a great quarterback and maybe the rest of the roster is not very good, or a team that has an average quarterback, but they've surrounded him with really good players. How do you think most NFL players would answer that question?
And what was the first scenario?
First scenario is you got a great quarterback, but the team around him is incomplete and there's holes. The other team has an average quarterback, but it's a very good team around him.
I go with the first one.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think with a good quarterback with pieces around him, because I feel like, just like a Tom Brady, like best quarterback to ever play the game, like he had an all-star roster one year and they ended up losing the Super Bowl. But for the most part, they never really had an all-star roster. They had like homegrown guys, just like the Kansas City Chiefs. Most of those guys are homegrown guys they drafted, and they got an all-star quarterback.
Yeah, it's not a who's who of all-star team. the tight ends right. dating the most famous woman in the world. But outside right. of that, it's not like they're all pros exactly. and all stars who everybody knows about. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think the first one would be more suitable, in my opinion.
Steelers and Raiders. I'm up next. The Davante Adams saga drags on. He claims he has a hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. He's not playing. His buddy Aaron Rodgers just had he didn't necessarily, but the coach got fired there. His other buddy Derek Carr now has an oblique injury and isn't going to play for a few weeks. So Davante Adams is in limbo right now, Pat. If you could offer him some advice on this podcast, what would you tell him to do?
My hamstring hurt the rest of the year. I mean, because I just feel like there's not a situation for him that he feel that he's comfortable with. I feel like if he's going to do a trade or, you know, want to be traded, I feel like next year would be the best option for him. Really have an opportunity to let every team get healthy, you know, dissect, you know, what is really good for you, what you're looking for out of the last, you know, hopefully the last stop in your career. And just really weigh those options. I just feel like now just too many teams up in limbo. The teams that we thought would have a real run at him. It's just too many question marks for him to really chase what he's wanting to chase in his career right now.
Man, I just feel like though, if he sits out the rest of the year, teams are going to be spooked by that and concerned about him if he collects dust for that long.
Yeah, I mean, he don't have a quarterback throwing him the ball right now. So
no, they're going to start Aiden O'Connell in this game. Right. Pat.
So what do we have to play for?
I guess just the stats, right? Just the numbers, just his own individual production.
I mean, yeah, I can see that, but my hamstring hurts the rest of the year.
The only the one thing I'll ask about that is this guy has a legacy. I mean, we've called him a Hall of Famer on this podcast. I don't think that,
which he is.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even really up for debate. But do you think, like, when your career's over, I think a lot of guys look at the numbers, right? I mean, he's missing out on catches and yards and touchdowns if he doesn't play for two more months.
Yeah. Yeah. But he'll be traded, though. He'll be traded. I don't think he will. If it was, I don't think he'll sit out the rest of the year, but I do think he'll be traded. But if he was not to be traded, that would be my answer to them, man. Yeah.
I can't let this game go without talking about the Steelers for a second because they've been linked to Adams. I don't think it's going to happen because of what I'm about to ask you about and bring up. George Pickens, we've got another Steelers wide receiver that's unhappy. So I would not want to trade for a wide receiver who's unhappy in his current situation and say, come here and the grass is going to be greener when we're right. going to be a run first offense and our quarterback situation isn't exactly perfect and set up for the future. I could see Adams getting frustrated here by those things. Now, he's not going to react to those things the way that George has. You know, he's going to be way more professional about it because that's just who Adams is. This Pickens thing here, Pat, has blown up. The guy, the video from the second half of the game is embarrassing where he's jogging. He's not even trying on some of these plays. He gets benched in the game for a series. Tomlin had to come out and run interference Tuesday and say, it's load management. Like we're talking about NBA players in an 82-game season, which I've never heard before. And most people called BS on it. But, I mean, last year he did this too. He erased the Steelers on all his social media. There were issues like the Colts game where he didn't block for Jaylen Warren and didn't try after an interception. So, I mean, you've been around this guy. Like, how do you get his head screwed back on straight? Because, Pat, I've been here for years. We had Martavis Bryant. We had Antonio Brown. We had Chase Claypool. We had Deontay Johnson. All wonderfully talented guys. In AB's case, a Hall of Famer. But they just blow up here for some reason. It's bizarre to me.
Yeah, I mean, George just have to get out of his own way, man. I mean,
now his dad's on Twitter calling coaches out and stuff. We're doing that whole thing.
Yeah, now. I mean, I mean, this generation nowadays are different, and it's only so much you can say, you know. So, but I have been around George, man, a great guy, great teammate. It's just, you know, he's a competitor. You know, once he gets in between those white lines, like every receiver, you know, they believe they're always open. You know what I mean? Just give him an opportunity. Yeah. And George is one of those guys.
Yeah, the thing I don't understand about the competitor thing is, if you want to compete, why do you start taking plays off? That's the opposite of competing, man. When you stop running.
But then that just goes into, yeah, I'm a competitor, but at the same time, I'm not getting the football, or I'm not about to put, you know, all my effort into something when I'm not really involved in the game. That's just my, you know, thought process of it. So that's not taken away from his competitive edge. That's, like I said earlier, George have to get out of his own way, you know, put all of that stuff aside and, you know, be one of those willing teammates to do all the little things to help you.
What can the coaches do to get him back that way?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
You're honest, dude. At least you're not. Yeah, I mean, that's really the conundrum here for a lot of people.
Hell, honestly, if Coach T can't get through him, whew.
Yeah, good luck to the next guys, basically what you're saying. Cardinals and Packers. I think this is a sneaky good game between these two teams. Arizona coming off a big win against the 49ers, and Green Bay went to L.A. and won. So I'm going to ask you this question. Which team do you think has a better chance of winning its division?
The Cardinals.
Okay.
I think the Minnesota Vikings and Detroit Lions are better than the Green Bay Packers. Those games are going to be competitive because those are divisional games. But just on paper, I believe those teams are better. And with the Cardinals, man, they are a strappy team. Long as Kyler Murray can stay healthy and continue to deliver plays for his football team down the stretch, especially in November, December, I believe they can pull it off. Getting two huge, huge divisional wins against – early divisional wins against teams – who had their number for a while now against the teams I'm talking about is the Rams and the 49ers, the San Francisco 49ers. So they're 2-0 in their division right now, playing some very, very quality, strappy football on defense. And Kyler Murray, you know, playing some of the best football that I've seen him play in his NFL career. If he can keep that up, I got my faith in the Cardinals over the Green Bay Packers to win their division.
So that is the right answer according to the odds makers. The Cardinals are plus 420 to win their division. That means 4-1. And the Packers are plus 650, almost 7-1. Both are third in their division. Lions and the Vikings ahead of the Packers, 49ers and Seahawks ahead of the Cardinals. You know, I liked Arizona as a sleeper before the season started, and I still do. I mean, and I should like them even more because of the 49ers and just the way that their first six games have gone here. But I just feel like it's a roller coaster with Murray, man.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's so many ups and downs, and I know it's asking a lot for a quarterback to just be, you know, steady Eddie and the same thing every week. Before I answer that, like, I've got more faith, I think, in Love and the coaches in Green Bay, and I think their defense is getting better and starting to figure it out. So I'll answer them, even though I think that the path to win it is easier for the Cardinals. I mean, right. I think that getting to the top, that division is not as deep as the NFC North, but, like, I don't know. Like, I've got to see Kyler do more than just a one or two game stretch or glimpse of him being great. So
that's why I said November, December.
Yep.
Texan Patriots. Do you think it's time for Drake May to be in the starting lineup?
No, I think this is a knee-jerk reaction. And when I say knee-jerk reaction, I mean that what's happened here is all of these rookie quarterbacks are having various levels of success. Jaden Daniels being the best. We touched on even Bo Nix having a winning record. And I think the Kraft family is watching Miami with Tyler Huntley beat them 15-10, watching their own fans boo the offense, watching their own fans, Trent, we want Drake, at the games, and they're giving in to outside pressure here. You had a plan. It was to play Jacoby Brissett this year, to let May learn, to let him watch, to allow for the game to slow down, to not put him in there with a bad offensive line, and really, other than Ramondre Stevenson, they're not weapons, okay? It's like taking a squirt gun to a battle with bazookas. I mean, they just do not have those types of playmakers. So, I mean, if May does it this year, then he's really the guy. I mean, if he can find a way to get it done with these dudes, then they really hit a home run with this draft pick. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a better chance, Pat, he struggles, and it might screw him up for years. So, no, I think this is a terrible decision by the Patriots.
Yeah, I agree. I think you should have stuck with your plan. You knew what your team was looking like, you know, coming into the season. Every team have an idea of how competitive their team is going to be. And I'm quite sure the Patriots knew that they was going to be a semi-competitive football team. And like you said, they came in with the plan of with Brissett being their starting quarterback. Just stick with it, because now you're putting your young quarterback in a position to really have his career damaged. You know, who wants to go out there and get banged up, you know, every single time they drop back for a pass? Like, that's not a great confidence builder. So I think you give it the rest of the season. Give yourself an offseason to give yourself an opportunity to rebuild your offensive line, start there, gain some weapons, put some weapons around a young fella to see if he can flourish with that.
I'm going to say that, in my opinion, what they're doing here with Drake May is actually worse than what the Jets did in firing Robert Saleh. I think long-term, big picture, this move is going to be more damaging for the organization than what the Jets did. Browns and Eagles. Speaking of Saleh, now that he's putting a for sale sign in front of his very large New Jersey home, we've got two coaches on the hot seat in this matchup: Kevin Stefanski, Nick Sirianni. Who is closer to the unemployment line in your situation, in your opinion, Pat? Browns coach, Eagles coach?
I go Browns coach. Yeah.
Oh.
Nah, I go Eagles coach.
That's a close call for you.
It is a close call, but I'm gonna go with the Eagles coach, just because the pedigree that the Eagles organization carry, and if they don't get it done this year, I think they're calling the quits. I feel like with Stefanski, he pretty much gave that organization new life. So I think he has a little bit of a longer leash, in my opinion. I can't be wrong, but that's my take on it.
He probably does, because he did win two Coach of the Years, and he has taken them to the playoffs a couple times, and he won a playoff game. But I think that their owner is so impulsive, impetuous, that I could see him saying, no, I gave Deshaun Watson $230 million guaranteed. He's not playing well. I'm blaming you for that. It's your fault, not mine. Not me for giving the money, you for not being able to unlock that. Goodbye. See you later. So I'm going to say Stefanski, just because the Browns fire coaches, like, you know, this is going to sound bad, but like, if I stain a Jordan, I don't want to wear them anymore. Mm-hmm. They go in the closet. I'm buying new ones. That's the way the Browns owner looks at head coaches. Right. If there's even a slight imperfection, you're gone. But I will say, I really believe this, Pat. I think if the Eagles lose this game, Sirianni's fired. I don't think they will. They're a 9-point favorite. But if they lost at home to the Browns, I think it would be bad enough. Now that the first domino has fallen with Saleh, I don't put it past another owner to say, all right, we got to do the same thing. Get busy living or get busy dying. Sayonara. Yeah. Who's next?
Yeah. And you kind of feel that too, there in Philadelphia, that he's kind of like on his last string, you know, out there with the fans and with the owner and the quarterback relationship. Kind of almost the same thing what Robert Saleh was going through
Yeah, you're right. There's friction there.
Right there in New York. So that's why I had to change my answer at first.